said, before we begin, someone just brought to my attention that perhaps it's important to mention that last night we all walked to the Kaisel for a really beautiful davening, and we went through the back alley on the way to the Shar Shechem. And when you're traveling with such a large group, so there really isn't any security concern over necessarily anywhere else, but so a person shouldn't think that he could do that on his own. It's definitely quite a danger, and a person should use caution. And our lives are much more precious than just the thrill of, you know, walking down the street by ourselves. So in general, the best route to go is through Shar Yafa, which is the regular route. If there is large groups of people going otherwise, then it's not a problem. We haven't done Sefer Chovetz Chassidim in quite some time. Quite a while. I miss it. 2 months? About 2 months. I believe we finished the 11th perek. Did we get right till the end and we didn't finish it? I believed we finished it. But if we didn't, we got mamish the last few lines. But I'm pretty sure we finished it. I finished it. And I'm looking forward to finishing the Sefer. We're really not far from finishing the Sefer, which is very exciting to me. Just a few nights ago, I met with a close friend of the present-day Piasetz and the Rebbe, who is in Beit Shemesh, who told me that he's confident that the Rebbe would be happy to come to the yeshiva when we make a siyum on the Sefer. That we'll have to see. Remains to be seen, but it's not a son of the Mechaber of the Sefer. Mechaber of the Sefer, all his children perished together with him. It's a nephew. His name is Shapira, and there's he has a shul in Beit Shemesh, the Piasetz Neshul. It's probably called Eish Kodesh, if I'm not mistaken, which is the name of the Rebbe's famous Sefer. The Rebbe wrote two famous svarim. One is the Chovetz Talmidim. This is the Sefer that's the most commonly learnt, most commonly read, but he's known by the Sefer Eish Kodesh. The reason being, because what was unique about the Sefer Eish Kodesh is that it was written during the war. It was written mamish during the horrors of the Churban of Europe, of the Holocaust. And it was left over in manuscript form. He left it under a rock, the manuscript, with instructions that whoever finds this should please send it to his family in Tel Aviv, and they will hopefully print the Sefer. And it's very emotional. Just you could even read the letter that he has, and he writes about how Hashem should have mercy on Klal Yisrael and whatever it might be. So he became known by that Sefer because, you know, the events around the Sefer were so phenomenal. But these most commonly read Sefer is a Sefer we're learning, Chovetz Talmidim, a Sefer that the Rebbe himself writes. He writes that, I'm asking anyone to please learn the Sefer, and anyone learns the Sefer, so then my Zayda and my Elta Zayda, his Elta Zayda was none other than Rebbe Elimelech Milizhensk, will for sure will do whatever he can in Shemayim for you. So learning the Sefer is a tremendous chus that we have to learn it. We're in the 12th parak. We're close to the end, and hopefully we will be finishing the Sefer sometime soon. So we're going to start now with the 12th parak. And this is really where he's beginning closure. It's the 12th parak starts, Dvarim Achadim, B'dvar HaChasidus, Iskashrus, B'Torah Al Yoda. It's Dvarim Achadim means he's leaving some closing words. It's just a few words, saying a few words. This is the 12th parak. And then as we move on, the 13th parak is, I believe, the last parak. So we're at the second to last parak. And then he leaves just some instructions as a postscript. So here we are, the 12th parak. In the old printing, it's on page Kuf, Tes, Zayin. In the newer printing, Tzadi Tes. Baruch atah Adonai, Eloheinu melech haolam, shehakol yehi b'dvarim. Okay, let's do our best. Hine, kvar hareisa ladas. Behold, you have already been shown to see, which means we're already starting to get the picture. Sha'ish, apa bochor Yisraeli, that a man, even just a lad, a young adolescent of Klal Yisrael, lo yatzim megushim, He is not made like a bone, or is not his essence, is not physicality, is not materialism. Kechaya ubehemahu, like an animal. A yid is not made of, is not, his essence is not animalistic. Rather, bria ruchaniyasu, he is rather a creation, a spiritual creation. And right away, the Rebbe is saying something that's very important for us to know. That a man is not just an intelligent type of animal. Man is not just like, you know, in modern science, they just group everyone together. It's just, we're all mammals, right? So then there's more sophisticated mammals and less sophisticated mammals. There's monkeys, and then there's whales, and then there's humans. Homo sapiens is like a type of mammal. So we're all like grouped together, and it's all just basically the same thing. But it's not like that. But in the world, people can see themselves as just, we're just sophisticated animals. We're intelligent animals. And a person very often tries to hone his skills to the point where he can actually be considered an honorary animal. You know, animals are extremely agile. Animals are very coordinated. Animals are very good at running, at jumping. You know, you very rarely see an animal trip. You ever really see an animal fall? You ever very rarely see an animal try to jump and miss his jump. It doesn't happen. Animals don't miss. Because animals, they're extremely good at being physical. They're very, very agile. Animals are very athletic. And, you know, a person can hone his skills to the point where he can be considered an honorary animal. They can put him, they could you know, he gets already drafted, and he's already on, he could be on be one of the Bears. You know, he's a Bear. There he is. He's Baruch Hashem, he made it, and he could be now a Bear. Who is he? I'm a Bear. You know, they call him, he's a beast. The guy's a beast. You ever saw him? He's Mamish, you know, and he's like strong and he's fast. They can make it even, he could be a Bronco. He'd much rather be a hawk, probably, but at the moment, I don't know how he does that. But he could be a bronco. He's like strong. He's like he's a horse. The guy's a horse, which is basically just trying to be an honorary animal. That's what he's trying to be. But people are not that. People are not honorary animals. There's another side to a human being, and a person is a bria ruchanis. He's a spiritual being. And listen to something very deep, my friends. The difference between a human and an animal is the fact that humans wear clothing. The idea of clothing is for a person to realize, I am not just my body. It is not all about just my body. It's not everything, it's not who I am. I'm not just an animal, like, and there's just another shape. I am my spirit. I am my neshama. So therefore, I try to hide my body to remind myself of who I am. Who am I really? That's the idea of a person wearing clothing. The pasuk says in this week's parasha, "V'asu big day, kodesh la'aron achicha, v'chavoid l'sifaris." Clothing is there for a certain amount of kavoid. There's a certain kavoid that a person has. Respect for himself, for his intellect, for his neshama. And the more covered a person has, the more spiritual a person is, the more clothing he has to wear, the more particular his clothing is. And a kohen who does avoid in the Beis HaMikdash, so then HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, you have to wear specific begodim, extra begodim. Kohen gadol, more begodim. Because the more spiritual a person is, the more a person has to realize, I am my neshama. I am my neshama, I'm not my guf. A person's guf is animalistic. A person's neshama is spiritual. And that's the question we have in our identity. How do I identify myself? How do I identify myself? By my good looks? Am I still me if somehow my good looks fade? By my physique? Am I still me if I no longer have, what are those things on the stomach?
Six pack,
is it still me? Thank you. Is this, am I still me, or this is me? This is me. Well, what happens if I don't have that anymore? Then I'm not me anymore? There's one thing that if a person doesn't have it, he's not him anymore. And that's his neshama. Your neshama defines you. It's not the shape of your nose. It's not your hairdo. It's not your outside shot. It's not your shape. It's your neshama. And a person realizes that. Then he realizes who he is. And this is such an important idea he's saying here. A person is not etzem agushim, kechayu behema. He's a bria ruchanius, ben shamayim. He is a son of the heavens. Asher nosna Hashem baretz. Kadosh Baruch Hu put him down over here. His neshama was somehow crammed into his guf. And the Svarim HaKadoshim say that's why it's so painful, childbirth. Because you're putting two things together that don't belong. It's like you're shoving ruchnius into gashmius. Ow, that hurts. That's why it hurts so much when a baby is born. Because these two things don't belong together. But a person has to realize, well, so what am I really? And the more a person works on trying to like cover his goof, the more a person cuts in touch with who I am, I'm my neshama. I'm my neshama. And let's just not focus on this other stuff. My panim, which you see, is a reflection of my pnim. It's a reflection of what's inside of me. So you can see my face. Because my face is a reflection of who I am. And if you know anything about Kabbalists, there's only two things Kabbalists can read. What are those two things? A person's face and a person's hands. Those are the only two things that a person leaves revealed. The only two things that a person doesn't cover. His hands and his face. Because those are both, they're megala on this person's pnim. Everything else is chutz, cover it up. Because it's not you. Even his body
is not like other bodies, other creatures that have been created. Zach virachu, it's pure, it's soft. Guf hamatim l'neshama miroima makazu, a guf that is appropriate for this exalted neshama. Our guf is different than all other bodies. We are the only creature to stand erect. All other animals, they bent over. We're the only ones to stand erect. Because we're the only ones that, you know, we look up to Shemayim. All the animals, they're like kuffuff to the ground. They're more connected to Gashmius. Our guf, Shaykh to Ruchnius. Avoboilam hazeh. But when you're in this world, misiba shaynos, for various different reasons, mechetah shel Adam Arishon, from the moment of the chet of Adam Arishon, umibechiros harois asher shar bnei Adam shel shar bnei Adam, and other bad decisions that people made, nisgashem af hu, we also became a gushim. You see, before Adam Arishon sinned, we didn't even have to wear any clothing, because then our guf was tar. We didn't have to hide the guf before Adam Arishon. Because our guf is different than other animals' guf. But once Adam Arishon sinned, and there's some sort of tumah that went into the guf, and now the guf is pulling us to more du averus, now we're having that struggle. And the guf is covering and he's blocking a person's neshama. And he's stopping the revelation of your very essence, who you are. Listen to this. And he says, a person does not know himself. He doesn't know himself. And we are going through identity crisis. Every day we go through an identity crisis. Who am I? People don't know who they are. People say, I want to do this. But it's totally wrong. It's totally inappropriate. It's totally detrimental to you. Devil, that's what I want to do. I know it's wrong. I want to do it anyway. That's insanity. That's not really true. That's a person who does not know who he is. He doesn't know. He doesn't want to do that. He just doesn't know, am I my goof? Am I my neshama? What am I? A person who's not in touch with himself. So he says, I want this. You're wrong, you don't want that. But you are being, you've been kidnapped. There's, what's it called when like a spirit goes into your body and like takes over?
Possessed.
That's the word. You've been possessed. You've been possessed by the Yetzer Hara taking over your body. That's not you. And you think this is what you want, but you are wrong. This is not what you want. This is not who you are. A person who is in touch with himself, I am my neshama. Does my neshama want this? Of course not. Of course my neshama doesn't want this. But I want it. Who are you if you're not your neshama? But I'm me, I want it. Does your neshama want this? No, my neshama is like that thing that's like sits on my shoulder and like says, you shouldn't be doing that. That's not your neshama. It's wrong. Your neshama is you. You're making a mistake. You're being possessed. You're being kidnapped. You're going through an identity crisis. You don't know who you are. That's what happens. Atsheinoy makir es atzmoy ve'enu yodeya me'oitzer hashamayim asher bekirboy. He doesn't even know what he has inside of him. He doesn't know how great he is. He doesn't know how awesome he is. People can walk around and saying about themselves, I am an animal. I am a dog. I am a beast. They call themselves animals. They don't know who they are. That's not who you are. It's bechlal not who you are. You're an Eitzer of Kedusha. You are the epitome of godless. You're Yetzir Kapa of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created you. You're a Chelech of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You're a Kuloi Ruchni. You've just been put temporarily inside of a body. You're Neshama. You're Kedusha. Does Kedusha want this? If a person realizes that, he's in a whole different place. It's a whole different game. It's a game changer. The moment you recognize who you are, who am I? Do I want this? A person can say, Yetzer Hara is getting me to do this. It's a whole different story than saying, this is what I want to do. And there's nothing to talk about. A person says, I know what I want, but the Yetzer Hara is getting me to do other stuff. And he's in touch with who he is. Then he realizes, I'm my neshama. And I got challenges, we all do. The ikar avodasai, the main avoid of a person, hula sheyoirer es nafshoi, v'yagbirenu al gufoi, his nefesh should overcome his guf. That's the main challenge we have, to figure out, am I my guf or am I my neshama? And the moment a person says that I am going to make decisions based on my neshama and not on my guf, then a person has won the challenge. That is the main challenge. The Rambam says something, Rabbi Yisai, it's mavil. The Rambam says a person has a choice. Tikkun ha-nefesh, churban ha-guf. Or churban ha-nefesh, and tikkun ha-guf. The Rambam says, person has a choice. Either you work on perfecting your neshama, you work on focusing on your neshama, and you say, my neshama is my life, and you allow your body to just kind of like be there just in order to be able to allow my neshama to do its job. And then the neshama gets fixed. Or you say, I gotta work on my body. I gotta take care of my body, because I'm my body. And then you have a churban ha-nefesh, says the Rambam. Your neshama will be destroyed. That's the challenge we have, to identify ourselves for who we are. And if a person does that, and a person realizes he's in his neshama, and a person allows his neshama to overcome his guf, oz af hu yafoich es oiroi v'yoshuv el atzmusoi, he can change his aura, his skin, his body, he can change everything, and now it goes back to becoming a davar kadosh. And returns to himself. And he gets back to who he is. And to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the God
of the heavens and earth. Kimalche Elyon, like an angel. Sarfe Kel, Bibchirosa Yavid. He'll choose on his own. I want to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because we all know what our neshama wants. We just think about what our glyph wants. And my glyph also has got to, you know, got to give that also, you know? Not just, a person says, you know, I'm only my neshama. All that matters is my neshama. And a person makes all the right decisions, all of them, and he serves Hashem like a malach. He could be perfect. We already showed you in the previous chapters, emtzoyim. We showed you ways. We showed you lessons, tools. Eich lehisoyer, how to a person to awaken himself, to inspire himself. Eich lehabia es hashkachosla, to try to lift up your attitude, your outlook on life, to change the way you look at things. Veich leoyer es daagosle, and how to be concerned about your future. Al atzmecha, on yourself, ulevakish, and to search as aderech haoyle beis kel, how to get there. Because some of us feel like, okay, fine, I just don't know how to go. I know what I'm supposed to be doing, but I'm like lost. So we've given in the past directions, instructions. We've given suggestions. How a person can get there. Emtzoyim. How to be able to get close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Laleches boi b'neshama miroi memah. To go with your neshama, with roi memos, exalted. But you should just know one thing, my veteran Talmud. Shekol devarenu eila. Everything we've said, hein rak emtsoyim lehisayir behem. These are just words of inspiration. We hope we're getting inspiration from these words. Va'iku shetavoid achar kach ba'atzmecha. The main thing is you got to work yourself. You got to work yourself. Bezeh v'chol prat, in every single aspect, every dimension, a person has to work. A person just, you know, hears words of inspiration, has moments of inspiration. That's not going to do it. For sure, you feel good in that moment. It's like a high. You feel roimimus. You feel close to Kodesh Baruch Hu. But now you've got to work. Kodesh Baruch Hu gives us those moments that are like lights on the path. Now we've got to start going. We see where we got to get to, but we just sit here and say, "Oh, that's where I got to go to." So what are you doing about it? Now a person's got to work on himself. Person has moments of inspiration, but he doesn't do something about it, just disappears. Mashal le'ish misalif, like a mashal to a person, we fainted. He was malnourished, and he fainted. V'nasnu loy tipois shaynis, they gave him smelling salts, different drops. V'shavrucha yalav, and he came back to consciousness. He woke up. V'haya. Now he's up. If now he's malnourished, if he eats bread, chalav, drinks milk, gets his vitamins, his necessary nutrients, okay, oh, he's going to be okay. But he's an Ibr Chacham, he's a smart guy. But if he's foolish and he says, look, the smelling salts are great. See, I ran out of food and I fainted. And I woke up because of smelling salts. They're obviously better than food. So these smelling salts can wake me up. Because I, from my fainting. If they can do that, they'll for sure be able to sustain me. So I'll just keep smelling salts. What do I have to eat food for? Yeah, much quicker. I'll just do that. And he keeps on just smelling the salts. I gotta go work. I gotta go, you know, find food and smelling salts. And he refuses to eat, to drink. All he does is smells these little drops. For sure that person is gonna get sick. Kain divareno. Also our words. Rak tipois le'oyer es nefesh hakadosha. They're just drops. They're just words of inspiration. They like wake us up. They give us a temporary jolt. And we're like looking and we're saying, you know, maybe. Yeah, really. That's right. But now we have to do something about it. Lo'oyer es nefesh hakadosha v'es guf ha'yisrael avodosam heim. That's what it is.
If you decide to work, apply yourself in the ways that we have described, the ways that we have written to you,
you will go up to become a real pride and joy for Klal Yisrael, an Ish Yisrael, Korov LaHashem.
And if you feel the zakus, the purity, the cleanliness inside you, chodaver midivrei haTorah, tefillah u'mitzvos, every word of Torah, every davening, every mitzvah, to spoil, and you'll be like amazed. You'll enjoy mirish be'esh hakdoisha from the fire of the ruchnis that you have inside of you. And then you keep on, it's like the momentum, it'll keep going and you'll keep on moving forward. But if you say, okay, you know, inspire me. Okay, inspire me, good, so keep going. And you're not willing to work yourself. And you're not working on your midas to cleanse them. There's certain filth we have. We've gotten filth inside of us. It's happened. We're not willing to work to clean ourselves, to refrain from certain things, that vices that we have, and to make ourselves kadosh. You're not willing to work hard, like a servant. Just on moments of inspiration, you're going to rely on this. You'll be like that fainter. You'll be just like that guy who just says, you know, I just want smelling salts. As a call to abid, you lose it all. Not only that, you lose all inspiration, you end up messing up more stuff. Obviously, we had, you know, last night a very inspiring night for me. Standing by the Kosel, I was davening there. I don't remember such an inspiring davening for myself in a long time. And I'm one past Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, believe it or not. For me, it was like, something just hit me there, and I was just davening in a way that I haven't davened in a long time. But aside for that, you know, but the whole night, the whole event, the whole feeling, you see on people's faces a shine, pride, a feeling of, like, you know, accomplishment and inspiration. It's a moment. We had a moment. What are we going to do with that moment now? So where are we now? Are we just going to, like, just flush it down the toilet? Hey, we got an off Shabbos coming up. Let's just flush it right down the toilet on the off Shabbos. Is that what we're going to do? Are we going to, you know, I wait for it to be inspired again, another moment? Or are we going to be willing to work like a servant? Hard. Challenges. We have challenges. Are we willing to face them? Because if we're not willing to work, then the inspiration is just going to disappear. It's all going to fade. And that's what he's saying. I could give you inspiration today till tomorrow. I could say the most inspiring drushes. I could write the most inspiring things. But if you're not willing to work, you're not willing to take it into your own hands. You're not willing to say, this is my life, this is my destiny, something I got to do because I know it's right, because this is what I know that I really want. We're not going to get anywhere. We'll be back at zero. And even worse. But we have confidence in you. Asher tefager shelo tefager lo tisrashel milavli. You're not going to do that. You're not going to give up. You're not going to cop out. V'lo bepam achas rak ma'at ma'at. It's not going to happen overnight. That you're all going to sudden, you know, every decision is going to be right. It's not going to happen, but slowly you're going to start pushing yourself in the right direction. You're going to work on, you know, on being better. Vitamid, consistently. Kenizkar la'el, like we spoke about before. V'zois kavanaseinu b'chol eila. That's our point. Our point is not that, you know, okay, that's it. Just become a whole different person overnight. But take steps. Don't stop taking steps in the right direction. U'bazeh kvar zchalto lios chosid. A person does that, he's working, and he's pushing himself. You're already beginning to deserve the title Chosid. Is a Hashem Elohim.